He come walking up like he's gonna hit me, and I said, yeah. Oh man, you know you want to, but you know better. All in one motion. He drops the mail, grabs two handfuls of hair, snatches me off, turns me over.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Hayden Outbound Podcast. We're Southern Storytellers. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Bob.
I'm Johnny.
All the way from Cheatham County, Tennessee.
That's right.
Drove down today, bringing us some logging stories and all kinds of stories.
it's
going to be a variance. We talked about this at NWTF. Bob stopped by the booth. We went through the stories. I said, well, this will be a first, but can you come down on Monday? He's like, yeah, just so happens I can. Yeah. So here we are. That was on Saturday. Here we are at Monday. We're going to tell some stories. We have some gifts we want to talk about. And then we've got an exciting scripture time today out of Mark. So without further ado, let's get to telling some stories. Bob, you're going to lead us out.
I can do it. Well, I figured it would be remiss if we were coming to Alabama for me not to tell a good old Alabama story first.
Yeah,
a Talladega story.
Oh,
a good Talladega story now. So growing up at home, lived in a very strict and sheltered house. We didn't, other than family vacation, you know, we didn't go a whole lot of places, anything like that. So I get to college, and it's me and a couple of roommates decided we're going to go to Talladega.
Mm-hmm.
So we go down there to the first year. My eyes were opened.
Yes, sir.
Things I've never seen before, I seen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we camped on the side of the road that year, and any old boy from the country needs a fire, you know, so. I go and buy us a little firewood. Well, it must have been some that Elijah used on the pit when he was challenging Baal, because it was soaking wet.
Oh.
It wouldn't burn. It wouldn't nothing. I done paid this money for firewood. Wouldn't do nothing. We don't end up having a fire. Well, the next year rolls around. I'm going back again. Daddy's a logger. I got all kind of access to firewood. I said, well, we're gonna fix this problem. I've got a flatbed Dodge Dually. And I cut firewood and I rounded it up on that son of a gun. Off down 65 I go. Well, I go, set up in the parking lot or in the campground there at Talladega, you know. I get me a drink box, open it up, tape it on the back of that flatbed truck, firewood, $1 a stick. And I'm selling my firewood. I'm like, I'm going to pay for my trip and make a little money, you know.
Yeah.
And this is dry firewood. It's going to burn. Well, I'm selling this firewood, man. I got me a lot of money. Well, the Saturday race comes along. I go on to the racetrack. I'm going to the race. I come back. I thought a murder done happened in the campground. There's police cars and most of them state troopers at that. And mounted police and everything. I'm like, man, what's going on over there? Well, the closer I get, they're all around my truck. And there's about 30 of us college guys down there. Well, the closer I get, one of them looks up and says, hey, that's him. That's him right there. Well, thanks a lot, bud. I get there and they said, is this your truck, son? I said, it is. I said, you selling firewood? And what I wanted to say was, what does the sign say? But being it was a bunch of state troopers, I was taught better than that. And I said, well, yes, sir. They said, where's your permit at? I ain't got no permit. They said, well, if you're going to sell firewood in the campground at Talladega, you got to have a permit. Well, Big Pete's got him a whole wad of money right here in his pocket. Well, I just reached it out and I said, well, how much is a permit? $1,500. And I brought down about 400 sticks of firewood. And I said, well, I'm not real good at math, but this ain't adding up. And they said, well, you got one option. You a college boy. I said, y'all figure out how to get rid of all that firewood right there and quick. So we had the biggest bonfire that there was in the campground. But it gets better from there. The race got rained out that Sunday. All my buddies is going back to college, you know, and I said, I come down here to watch this race and that's what I'm gonna do. I had a final that Monday. And this is the truth. They told me that if I didn't buy that permit or I didn't buy that wood, they were gonna impound my truck and I was gonna go to the track jail. I guess they've got a jail in there. I didn't find out. So, but I call that professor on Monday morning and I said, you ain't gonna believe this. They've impounded my truck for selling firewood illegal. And they tell me I can't leave till this race is run. And I said, I'm down here to lay run this race. And he said, there ain't no way in the world you can make that up. He said, come on back and take your final when this race is run. So we bat us a big old bonfire, and I got to watch the race, and I got to take my final. And
stayed out of jail.
I did. I stayed out of jail.
And he didn't take no more firewood.
No, I didn't. I didn't take no more firewood to sell at Talbag either.
It broke him from sucking eggs.
Yes, sir. There's a lot you can learn down there at Talladega, buddy.
Sounds like you learned a valuable lesson. I did. Yep.
But who would have thought? I mean, just go down there and sell some wood.
I think the problem is if you're on that road, that the actual state road that runs through by the track, you can sell it on the roadside right there. But once you go inside that campground,
you own private property.
You own NASCAR property now, okay. And they want that money.
They can do whatever they want.
I'm gonna tell you one about the creek gravel driveway.
The creek gravel driveway.
Yeah, the creek gravel driveway. Creek gravel can be as big as the end of your thumb,
big as your head,
up to big as a grapefruit. And all boys, I guess, when you get a certain age, you start getting a little bandy rooster struts. You know, you start getting a little fuzz on your chin.
Mm-hmm.
You start thinking you're tough. Well, my daddy is 30 years older than me. And I know I was at least 16 when this happened because I had a pickup truck. We've been to the sawmill that morning working, and dinner time come. Me and my daddy and my uncle was going to go over to daddy's house to eat by the dinner. We go eat dinner and come back out. Sitting on the tailgate of the truck, Dad goes to the mailbox to see if he got any lumber checks where he could stop payment on some stuff. And we was always picking at one another. He'd come by, you know, like he's going to hit me, this, that, and other. Well, when I was 16, I had a fro this big. You cap this up here on top of it. He come walking up like he's going to hit me, and I said, yeah. Oh, man, you know you want to, but you know better. All in one motion. He drops the mail, grabs two handfuls of hair, snatches me off, turns me over. I'm laying on my back in that creek gravel. And he's dribbling my head in them rocks. Boom, 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 like a jackhammer. He finally let me up what seemed like an hour. Couldn't have been over 30 seconds, but I was rubbing knots all over the back of my head. No blood, just knots. I got up. I said, Daddy? I said, I'm just joking. He said, I was too. You ever call me old man again, and I'll stomp a hole through the back of your head. I said, yes, sir, Mr. Palmore. Never, ever thought of calling my daddy old man again. That he got broke from sucking eggs selling firewood. I got broke from sucking eggs calling my daddy old man. That bandit rooster strut didn't get it.
Uh-uh.
My daddy was a little fella, but he was quicker than a minnow. And just that quick, well, my head hurts now. When I talk about it, knots pop up on my head. And his name was actually Marcel. And Marcel, if you look up the meaning for that word, it's little hammer. Well, he was just like a little sledgehammer on the back of my head, and I ain't never forgot it.
You're the only person I ever heard get an attitude adjustment with creek rocks.
That transitions just perfectly into the next story that I've got, you know. Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child.
We just did a video about that.
And there was no sparing the rod. Now, he had a spare rod in case he broke one. He had a spare he could use.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up, when we were in elementary school, there was three different elementary schools in the county. And they went from kindergarten to fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then all three of your elementary schools come together into one middle school, sixth grade. So start of my sixth grade year, I get moved into this new school and go there. And boy, I'm meeting new friends and probably some friends I shouldn't have been running around with, you know. But I'd always been good in school, AB student, you know. Not great, but pretty good. Well, I'm going to school and, man, I ain't hitting a lick at a snake. I ain't doing nothing. Mm-hmm. I ain't paying attention. I ain't nothing. There's one thing I'm pretty good at. I'm a pretty good artist.
Mm-hmm.
I can forge a signature.
Mm.
And so my teachers are sending home these weekly report folders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know what's in them.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I can quite get away with signing Mama's name, but I can get. I know I can sign Daddy's. So I put the Johnny Palmore on them, and right back to school they went. Well, that worked for 5 weeks until the report cards come out on week six. Well, I know I can't. They know report cards are coming out in 6 weeks. So I go home, I take the report card home, and I'm failing everything but PE. And so I hand them the report card, and they're just in shock. You know, like, you've been a good student. Mm-hmm. What in the world is going on? And I said, all the teachers hate me. You know, it's new school. Everybody hates me. I said, well, we're going to have a parent-teacher conference. So, all right. Well, they get ready to have the parent-teacher conference. My grandmama lives about 300 yards across the field. We got a path that we walk back and forth from the school bus over there every day. Mm-hmm. And they take me over to my grandmama's house. Before they leave the house, he asked me, son, anything you need to tell us? Nope. Everything's good. I told you. Teachers hate me. All right. Drop me off at my grandmama's house before they leave to go to school. Ask me again, son, anything you need to tell me? No, everything's good. They come back home after about an hour and a half or anything. I see Mama's little 4Runner come up the driveway, you know. They get out. He's looking about like he's looking right now, you know. He's got a pretty good little possum face mm-hmm. going. I'm thinking, all right, I got this deal licked. And get back in the truck, and he asked me again. Said, son, anything you need to tell me? No, sir. He said, all right, I tell you what. When you get to the house, you go to your room, and you get every pair of underwear you got, and you put them on. And you come back out in this living room, you meet me. And when I did, he stuck them signatures out there, and he said, whose signatures are these? And I said, I signed them. And son, he commenced to whooping on me like I ain't never been whooped before. Mm. And I had never forgot it. Well, that was when I was in sixth grade. When I turned 16, got my driver's license and everything. We got a tobacco crop at the time. We always raised about 4 or 5 acres. I'm big enough to kind of tend to most things in the tobacco crop myself. He's going on to Logwoods. Well, that morning at the house, he said, hey, I need you to run up to the feed mill. We need some sucker oil and this, that, and the other. And he mm-hmm. said, here's a check. Just take it up there, whatever it's for. Just write it out and sign it. I said, no. I said, I'll fill out what the money amount is, but I ain't signing nothing. Mm-hmm. You sign the check. Yes. I'm not signing a dadgum thing.
You taught him too well.
He was talking about the teachers hate him and everything. We go in. There's his teacher. Her name is Hill.
Yeah, that's Miss Hill.
Miss Hill. And my first impression of Miss Hill, she was somewhat crabby. So I go up and introduce myself. She says, Mr. Palmore, you should know this and that and other. I said, why should I know? He's failing. You've been signing all these papers. I said, I have. Well, let me see them. Put them out there. I said, no, ma'am. And I signed my name to it. I said, that's my name. I said, that's some of Bob's handiwork. And I said, he ever gives you any trouble, you got my permission.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is, you got my permission to tear him up from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And then you get word to me, and I'll whip him again. And then she said, Mr. Palmore, you shouldn't be too harsh. I said, listen, lady, you tend to him at school, I tend to him at home, and what I do to him at home between me and the Lord, not you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when they took discipline out of the schools where you could make a child behave,
mm-hmm.
just went down. Prayer first thing,
mm-hmm.
and then letting them, and they wonder how come we got a shortage of teachers and school bus drivers.
Everyone can't put make up them with behave. Them. Yeah, that's it.
They done had me in the federal penitentiary.
Yeah.
You know, I had told a story about me lying to him.
Mm-hmm.
You ever had your daddy lie to you? You ever had your daddy lie to you?
I can't think of nothing right offhand.
When you have a church potluck, some things can be a little mm-hmm. little iffy, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean there. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there going through the line, and daddy comes up to me and says, hey. He said, them eggs over there is all right. Them others. All right. So I go to the ones that he told me was all right. I got three or four of them, you know. I eat them, me and him sitting beside each other, and said person whose eggs that we did not want gets up to go over there and get their tray. And they didn't grab the tray that they were supposed to grab. The ones that my daddy had told me were good to eat just so happened to come from the house that we didn't want to eat them from. But it was bad on him, too, because we both got them.
Yeah, because I was told by one of the ladies in the back which ones I was supposed to get, and she got her wires crossed. And then we got the eggs crossed.
We did get the eggs crossed. Oh, yeah, we ended up eating the bad deviled eggs. We lived to tell about it. But
be on the safe side, we eat no more deviled eggs.
No, no, we didn't eat no deviled eggs at all after that.
I might drink a raw one at the house, but I wasn't going to eat another cook one at church.
We got home, and I play guitar a little bit. I grabbed my guitar out, and I hit a chord or two, and I said, I can't believe my daddy lied to me. Wrote me a little song about it.
But well, he didn't mean to lie to you.
He didn't, but it was
him to lie to you.
I think it sure Lord, didn't make my stomach feel no
I
better.
I think the Lord will forgive me for that one.
I believe, yeah, so. I believe so. Well, being you partook, too, I think you're yeah,
I he think didn't leave so. You alone. I thought he was going to tell the story that he put you on them bad eggs, lied to you, and he went over and got them good ones. But no, he hung in there with
no,
you.
He did.
I got one of the bad eggs, too, so it didn't make me feel none too good. He'd have to eat them.
Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
From what my mama says, I was just about born on stump.
Mm.
And my daddy had a drinking problem. And so mama went with him to the woods before I come along. And then she started back to work, and daddy wasn't what we call a full blow drunk. He just take it by spells. But I didn't like babysitters, and they hated me because I didn't want to be there. And I went to log with my daddy. And I started dragging log with a mule before I started first grade. So I've been in the woods all my life. And I've been skinned up, cut up, broke up. This one, chainsaw kicked up and hit me here and come up. And you could see the juggle vein.
Oh, yeah.
Land.
You could see it.
You could take your fingers like that, and a chainsaw won't cut you. It just rips it open. So we get to the house. Bob, this little bitty fella, my wife was pregnant with the other boy, Ben. So we take off to Clarkford Hospital. They go on life flight, mate. I said, no. You ain't put me on no helicopter. Well, Mr. Primal, we can't put you to sleep because you eat and it's going to make you deathly sick. I said, getting on that helicopter would be worse than deathly sick. Y'all just numb it up. And this guy was an ex-plastic surgeon. I said, you just numb it up, trim it up. I'm married. The dating days is over with. Don't worry about what it looks like. Just fix it.
The dating days is over with.
So this little blonde-headed nurse, bless her heart, wasn't that big around. Well, when they started giving all that dead and stuff, and I'm a biggest sissy ever was when it comes to needle. Nothing else don't bother me much, but needles I can't stand. And I'm reaching for something to get. Well, she made the fatal mistake of getting a hold of my hand. Well, I about squirted her fingers off. When that stuff took effect, now it was all right then. He trimmed it down both sides and laced it up like a boot. Down in there, and then the top. When they got it numbed up, she said, "Mr. Palmore, can I have my hand back?" I said, "Honey, I'm sorry." And when she took her hand up like that, her finger was as white as cotton.
Mm.
They didn't have no blood in them. But they stitched that up, 80 something stitches in there, and my head swelled up, be the wash tub. I couldn't eat nothing. Suck it through a straw. That's the reason they got chain breaks.
Uh-huh.
But that didn't work. And I was bad about taking them off because at the time I wanted that chainsaw to just get close to a tree, cut that quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got this cut across there. I cut all that stuff off the pocket knife, keep him having to go to the doctor and get sewed up. Now, he misinformed you on one thing. This piece here I didn't cut. I pulled it up, going to cut it, but it was bigger than a butter bean. You'll be all right.
I'll be all right. Who does that, Mr. Powell? Nobody does that.
You got to be... bad, be dumb, tough, be and tough. Bad, dumb to be a logger to start with.
I think it's a combo. I mean.
But when I pulled that up,
yeah,
I said, well, that's bigger than butter bean. I might ought to keep that. So
might ought to keep that.
My wife wanted to take me to the emergency room, and no, we ain't going. I can't stand stitches. My sister's emergency room nurse. I called, she was home that day. I said, you got any of that glue that y'all use over in the emergency room? She said, yes, I'll be here in a minute. Drove me over and she said, Bub, you need to go get that sewed up. I said, no, we need just put the peroxide to it and this, that, and the other. Well, she did, and she put that glue in there and pinched my lip up like that. About 3 minutes, you couldn't pull it apart. I looked just like old Hitler. For about 2 weeks, I was just so under here, I couldn't shave. So I looked just like... I didn't do it this way, but I had the mustache.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Oh man!
Between you and Mr. Ricky, I mean, it's just must be part of
this law. You got to be a logger.
So I let him listen to that one on the way down here. Listen to Ricky down
back. I mean, that man lost feeling in things for weeks at a time and just kept going. Like, well, it might come back, it might not. I'm thinking, well, no, it ain't how it works.
Me and my youngest son, Ben, works with me now. And not the last time I went to hospital, but the time before, he was coming off hill with a tree, and there was another tree down I was going to hook to it too. And I just holding on to it, I know better. I had a cap on like it, and I had a hard hat. And about that time, my lights just about went out. Man, something hit me over the head, broke it, knocked me flat on my belly. And it didn't knock me out, but he come grab me up. He was white as a sheet, turned me over, blood running all down my head. He said, Daddy, we got to get you to the hospital. You're gonna die. I said, guess what? Well, let me lay here a minute. I got to rubbing my head. I could feel them holes up there, but it didn't go all the way through.
It's didn't a good thing. Hole,
the skull didn't crack.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Oh, gosh.
And he said, we got to get you to the hospital.
You mean your scalp was open and you were just fingering down in there?
Just touch it, see? Touch it.
Grief. I was out there. I got a place of like 3 toes on a chicken's foot where it split it wide open. So he's
and they wonder why I did not go into logging business.
What hit you, a chain or rope or
no,
what
was it? A DLM pole about big around your arm. And when it hit my head, it broke. And I don't know how I put 3 in one time, but it did. And well, we were way back in the woods on a Kubota RTV. We was that far from a truck, so I was back on it. Ben was backing up, took this tree when all this happened. He jumped off and going get me on the Kubota. Well, he backed up and got straddled of the cable. Somehow or another, he couldn't get off of it. And he ain't that big around, what, weigh 150, 60 pounds, 170 maybe?
He's gained a little weight since then, but.
He grabs the Kubota with that adrenaline rush and picks it over off of that and gets me up in there. And I'm telling him, just settle down. We'll go to the hospital and get sewed up. Come on back. Go back to work. He's dead. You ain't coming back to work. I can see the bone. You ain't coming back to work. I said, well, don't call 911. Just we're going to the hospital. We'll start through the woods. He's driving, flying. He goes over this little hump. I get about to fall out. I said, hey, stop this thing. I said, you might ought to call 911. I said, because if I'm driving, you go in the hospital, I faint and fall over on the floor on your lap, you're going to have a wreck and kill us both. So he got me stitched up, sent me home. The next day, when he done all that straining, Benjamin had hemorrhoids. He about strained himself to death.
Oh, man.
But he got over them, and I got over this. I didn't go back to work that next day. Three or 4 days before I went back to work.
I bet you had a pretty good little headache by the time they got through
with
it. Yeah,
and believe it or not, we started wearing hard hats.
Well.
Some dogs has to get whooped more than once first.
He learning.
What to do.
You teachable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't teach old dog new trick once in a while.
My goodness. Well, Bob, tell me another one over there. You got one?
I do. A lot of my stories come from my college days.
Yeah.
I had a good time in college. So much, I stayed an extra year.
Hey,
it was good. But that last year when I was there, one of my Sunday school teachers had went to the same college that I went to. And one time in Sunday school class, why he told us this, I don't know, but he was talking about one of his senior pranks that he pulled. And they took a bunch of the dairy cows and put them in the English building or something. I don't remember which building it was. Left them for a weekend. It was a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to do that, but I was like, it gets my gears turning. You know, I've got to have me a senior prank. So I worked at the school farm at the time. And I thought, man, it's right around Halloween. I said, I'm gonna paint the sheep. Mm. I'm going to paint all the sheep at the sheep unit. Man, I got leather gloves, wore house shoes. I was being slick, you know. Bought my paint, not at school, not at the school Walmart. I bought it at home 2.5 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a bunch of day glow orange paint. Me and some other fellas went.
Mm-hmm.
And they was catching them sheep, and they had just sheared them now. I'm talking these sheep had just been sheared in the last couple of days. They was catching them, and I had two cans at a time, buddy. I was just oranging them things up. Well, I painted all of them full orange except for two. Put happy on one, Halloween on the other one. Off we go. Well, they found them sheep the next morning. And the manhunt was on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I honestly did not know this at the time when I did it. They had to have those sheep for a FFA judging contest the next day. So they got these sheep, all the wool sheared off of them. They can't shear the orange off of them.
Mm-mm.
And they got to have these things for a judging contest. So they end up painting them black. So they're literally black sheep. But while I was painting them things, I had bumped one of them with one of them cans. And so down at the bottom of that can, there was all kind of little squiggly marks and orange paint on it. Well, I kept that can. Years later, me and my wife met in college down there, but it was after I'd already graduated and came back. I'd teach a class down there, cattle class. She was in my class. And we end up dating, getting married. She moves in, and she's in my closet one day cleaning some stuff out. And she finds this paint can. And she said, I ought to know better than to ask you, because it's you. She said, but why in the world do you have an orange paint can in your closet in here?
Mm-hmm.
And I just started laughing. And I said, oh, that was an old college memory. That was a old college prank I pulled. And her eyes got that big. And I'm sitting there, what in the world? She said, you're the one that painted them sheep. And didn't nobody know it was me? And I said, how in the world did you know that? She said, I'm the one that found them. She went in to feed the sheep the next morning.
Oh, my gracious.
Working at the unit. I didn't know her. Didn't have no clue who she was. And she's the one that found them. She's like, do you know how much trouble you would have gotten in had you have gotten caught? Oh, it was serious.
Yeah, but they were.
Statute of limitations is passed.
Right, it's over now.
My degree's hanging on the wall. We're all good to go. But so I met my wife about 3 or 4 years before I met my wife.
That's
and we
cool.
still have the paint can. It's still got all the little orange squigglies on it where it's got the paint on there. But yeah,
that's awesome.
That was a pretty cool story.
You got caught, boy, you'd still be going to college.
Yeah.
You'd been a janitor. You'd been a janitor or something. Other. It made you clean up some stuff.
Yep.
Here a couple more, maybe one more piece. But before we do, I want to take a break. We got some crappie jigs here from Rich's Baits. Now, you're not going to be able to see them, but, man, these things are good looking, especially handmade tied crappie jigs. Mr. Rich gave one to me, one to Shane, and one to Robin. And we just wanted to take a second to show those to you because it won't be long. You should be able to drop those in there and start catching some of those delicious crappie. But Rich, we appreciate you sharing that, sharing these crappie jigs with us, and we look forward to using them.
I told you I wanted to tell one about watching God work.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
And I kind of got ahead of myself a little bit a while ago about my other son, youngest son. But nobody knows but me and Mr. Larry Long, who was cutting timber for. You can tell people what I seen, but they can't grasp it. When it's any, it could be anybody, but when it's your own son, and I didn't beg him to go to work. He got tired of what he was doing. He'd been lied to so much and everything, the mechanic, and I let him go to work with me. So I kind of put an X. I felt responsible. And I guess any daddy that's got a child working for them, no matter what they're doing, they get hurt, you're going to feel responsible. But when he was in the shape he was, and I just knowed in my heart, I said, he'll be dead before I ever get him to the road, to the ambulance. And I didn't know this, that it was all over with. Mr. Larry told me, said, while you was cutting stuff off of him and getting them limbs off of him, he wasn't breathing.
Now, that's real quick, because they don't have what you're sharing.
Right.
You told this off camera. So let's really quickly put people where you're at now. You and your son are out there, you're logging, and he is, what is he doing when he gets catapulted?
He was cutting a tree, and it's June, leaves is everywhere, you can't see. And this would be, it took me about an hour to figure out what happened 2 days later, because there's no way you could believe if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. This top broke out of a second tree over here that was mangled up in this other tree like that and broke the whole thing out on him.
And it lands on him?
Yeah.
So a top out of a big tree.
The top out of right next to it.
Lands on him on the ground and covers him up. And now you're and cutting the tree off with a chainsaw.
I couldn't even find him.
Right, okay.
But he's laying there with his head on a pole and one across the back of his head, blood everywhere. But Mr. Larry Long was working for him. Hear all the commotion come down there. But when I got the stuff off of him, and he'd run up the top of the hill, call 911, Mr. Larry. Well, I get him to the truck, and he's walking, but his upper body's way ahead of the rest of him, you know, like he's leaning out. I get him in the truck. Get him out there. Then I had to start a log truck and build air up and move it. And I said, he'll be, Lord, please don't let him die. He's got two kids at home, a wife, and a little boy was just a baby. So we get him out of there. And Mr. Larry, like I said, told us that he wasn't breathing when you was getting that stuff off of him. So the good Lord took care of him, brought him back as far as I'm concerned, and that was on Friday. They sent him home on Sunday.
Mm.
2 weeks he went back to work, and I told him the day that on Sunday, I said, son, if you want to quit logging, I'll understand completely. His exact words, and he can be a kind of comedian himself if he wants to. He said, this ain't no strain on my chain, my cable is able. I'll be ready to go work Monday. I said, you've lost your mind, boy. He said, I didn't say what Monday, but I'll be ready to go work Monday.
On a Monday.
And just by the grace of God, he made it. And his brother had a benefit there at HBR Lumber Company. And we had people from everywhere. We had three hogs, wasn't it?
Yeah, we killed three hogs.
Three hogs that weighed 300 pounds apiece barbecue. And there was people donated stuff, had a silent auction, everything like that. And I was deep down inside, I was hoping he'd back up and think about go doing something else. But he didn't, and he loves it. So if he wants to go on, and he's dead set, he's going to keep on logging because he's going to ask me a couple of times when I'm going to quit. I said I was going to work till I was 70, but
no, he ain't.
I don't think I'm going to fight it that long.
How old are you now?
60. I'll be 62 in June. Been in the woods all. I worked public work 18 months and hated every day of it. And I've been in the woods all my life ever since. And it's just where I'm meant to be. somebody's got to do it. Might well be me.
I believe it.
Ain't gonna be me.
He was smart with a bunch. Only time you had to look for Bob in the woods, he's gonna be hunting.
That's exactly right.
When Ben was little, he'd see a log truck come by school, he'd have a mortal fit. His brother had to go get him calming down. He said, "You're gonna have to go to school. Now you might as well just shut up and squalling. If you don't go 12 years, they put daddy in jail." That didn't help much, but he did go. He went to Diesel College, and that's where he was wanted to be. And he's still a mechanic on his own, but he wanted to go back to woods, so who was I to tell him no? Daddy didn't tell me no.
Just go on and get it.
Yep.
Well, Bob, tell me one more, and then we're going to go to scripture time.
Yeah, I got one we can do pretty short here. One of the greatest comedians and practical jokers of our family has gone on to be with the Lord now. Mm. But my Uncle Charlie, he was... If I had to call anybody a second daddy besides this one, it'd be my Uncle Charlie. And the Lord blessed us. We were able to buy his place, and I'm living in his house now. But when I was little, boy, he picked and carried on with us all the time. And his favorite thing to say, and you will never hear nobody else in the country say this, was "Bijer." God dog Bijer all the time.
Hmm.
And I can remember being down at my granddaddy's house, and Uncle Charlie would always tell us, "Bijer, you put a little salt on his tail, you can catch him." That was anything. If you put salt on his tail, you'd catch him. We was out in the goat pen messing around one day, and the goats got out. Well, I come running in Mammy and granddaddy's house, and Uncle Charlie is sitting in there, and I said, the goats is out. And he said, "Well, Bijer, get you some salt. You run over and put some salt on the tail, you can catch him." Uncle Charlie wouldn't lie to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said, "Give me some salt." So they just poured my hand full of salt. Well, I grab it up, you know, and I run. I chased them goats for 30 minutes around that yard. They wore out. I'm wore out. Finally, I get one of them to stop. About from here from me to you. And I rear back to throw that salt, and it's just a big old melted blob in my hand. Mm-hmm. And there's on the porch, there's Uncle Charlie just sitting there just hee-hawing, laughing. "Bijer, you got him now, don't you?" But that was, he told us all our life, "Bijer, just put some salt on his tail, Bijer, you'll catch him." And of course, I passed that on to my kids. We were over at, we used to always barbecue a hog 4th of July over at my great-granddaddy's house. And there was some peacocks running around over there. And my oldest one, was probably 5 or 6 at the time. She was slipping around trying to catch her one in peacocks. And I said, "Hey, put some salt on his tail. You can catch him." So I pulled the same thing on her. She run that peacock around. She went to throw that salt, and there wasn't nothing there. So, yeah, I don't know if putting salt on her tail will catch him or not, because it never made it there.
You had to carry it in a container, try it out.
Probably so. Yeah, I don't know that.
I think it's just the fact you get that close, you might as well just go ahead and catch it.
That's right.
Just tackle that dude and forget it.
Yeah.
If you can sprinkle it on him.
Yeah, you might as well just catch him.
Yeah.
I appreciate your stories. And let's talk for just a minute before we go into scripture time, give a little update on NWTF. That's the most fresh thing. You awake enough to talk about it?
Yeah, I'm good.
We went over there. We had a great start. I get a phone call. I'm supposed to spend the night with Shane and his family on Thursday night at the Opryland Hotel. Mm. He's going to work. We're going to leave about dark, get up there, head on up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he calls me about lunch on Thursday. He said, we got a problem. Now, I've been knowing him since I've been knowing folks, and that's not the surprise. So, okay, well, tell me what we got to work through to get to Nashville. We ain't got no rooms.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? You ordered your rooms before I ordered my rooms. What do you mean we ain't got no rooms? And he said, well, I was supposed to checked in on Wednesday because I went ahead and got rooms for Wednesday night too, just in case we could get up there. And since I didn't show up or call on Wednesday, they just canceled all the rooms and we ain't got none.
They did that.
And it's not a very easy place to get a room back in either.
Oh, no. There's no rooms. Uh-uh. No, it's completely sold out.
No room at the end. Joseph, friend.
No room at the end.
So we ended up at the Hyatt?
Hampton.
Hampton, which was nice.
That's a good quality.
If I go back, when I go back, I'll stay there. That's the truth in that area. I won't.
I mean, it's right close. I mean, you can, if you wanted to walk, you could definitely walk.
I did, actually.
Well, you did?
I walked there Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I walked there Saturday morning.
But interesting. Shane likes to keep it interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. I just wish I wouldn't have done it that way.
Right.
Yeah.
He learned a lesson. We learned a lesson. Mm-hmm. Even though you pay.
Yeah, I paid in full.
I mean, those rooms were completely paid for.
In full. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't just the deposit.
No.
And you didn't check in and you didn't have a room.
They kept the money and the rooms.
So you didn't save no money.
No.
It was a very expensive trip to the NWTF.
No, I didn't save a dime.
Mm.
But, you know.
You done doubled up, ain't you?
If you're going to be dumb, you got to be tough.
Let's talk about that for just a second. That's a really good deal for a hotel.
Oh, yeah.
You got these Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night paid for. It's paid in full. You going to tell that man.
Sorry,
no,
you didn't
sorry.
Come in time.
You're going to keep that money for Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Now you're going to book another man in there mm-hmm. for Thursday night and Friday night and double dip on Thursday night and Friday mm-hmm. night. That's a fine deal for a hotel.
Something about that just don't seem
it
right.
Don't
does
seem
it
don't seem right.
I'm going to buy me a motel.
Right after this. When you quit logging, you can go into hoteling.
You got to change your name you do that, though.
You may have to.
I'm going to call it the Empty Arms Hotel like you've been on Hee Haw.
Empty Arms.
Yeah, Hee Haw, Empty Arms Hotel. I'll fix them.
But other than that, I think it was a good trip.
Yeah, got to meet a lot of folks, see them, shake hands, kiss mm-hmm. some babies. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I do want to give a shout out to Charlie and Henry. They're probably sleeping right now.
They're probably asleep.
Their mama and daddy brought them to us, and they're twins, and they go to sleep to the podcast playing.
Cool. That's good.
I mean.
That was not the only people that came up to us and said, we love your podcast. We go to sleep to it every night.
No,
I thought
wasn't.
That's interesting.
That isn't.
Y'all talking about the prayer we're going to do, the scripture reading or whatever. Y'all knew Jerry Clower.
Mm-hmm.
A great Christian man, a Christian entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's the one that come up with this. I ain't come up with it, but I've asked people from time to time this. I say, do you believe in heaven and hell? So if you believe in heaven and hell, you got to believe in God and the devil. And in the simplest way an old plowboy knows how to put it is when you die, where will you be when you get where you're going?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Clower put that in there. He's, where will you be when you get where you're going?
It's a good thought.
You have to take time to think about that. Mm-hmm. Don't just let it fly over your head because some redneck from Tennessee said that. But
think through it a little bit.
Think
where
on
you
these
be
things.
When you get where you're going?
Yeah.
We probably need to say thank you to the Custom Barnwood boys as well.
Do you happen to have those?
Yeah. Nope.
Nope.
Yeah. They're in the Tahoe.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah. And that was Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Invited us over.
He also sleeps in the podcast.
Every night. Good. That's another testimony of that. I think it's complimentary. I don't think it's the only boring thing enough that'll get me to sleep. But so that was really good. He gave us some plaques to put, hopefully, future turkey feathers on, mm-hmm. future turkey fan on this year.
Yeah, he sees our fan over there, and he was like, that right there is just pathetic.
He said it in a way because he cautioned that you might have made that.
He did. Well, no, his mama cautioned him. His mama was like, you better not say that.
Because that man may have built it himself.
And I did. That's
his
my handiwork.
He picked it out, didn't he?
So it was good that he paused for just a few minutes. But if you came by, we do want to say this. If you took time out of your day to come by to see us at NWTF, thank you. It was a true honor to get to talk to folks and hear the feedback because y'all hear us all the time. We don't get to hear you, so it's neat to have those moments of getting feedback from what you guys think. So appreciate that.
And that deal's growing, man.
Woo!
I've been going for years. Of course, we just live, 30 minutes from there. But I was there Thursday and Saturday morning when I saw you guys. And
nowhere to park.
I've never seen as many people there at 10 o'clock on a Thursday morning. as was there, not to mention Saturday. I mean, so that deal is just getting bigger and bigger all the time. Speaking of gifts, a while ago, you want to do your gifts now? You
I almost forgot. Yeah, let's do that. So Bob's got a gift for us.
Get that box over there. The fellow that is on my shirt here, John Forrest, he is our youth pastor.
Mm-hmm.
John is an extremely talented man. And I mean, him and his daddy both, just fine, fine Christian men. And John hand makes fishing baits. And he listens. He listens to y'all.
How about that?
While he is making these baits right here, so there should be one in here for each one of y'all, including Robin and Trent.
Look at that.
And then this one you might can just let sit somewhere. That's a little mouse trap that he made there. But I sent him a text yesterday, and I said, hey, me and Daddy are going to Hayden, Alabama to be on the Hayden, Alabama podcast. And he said, man, I wish I'd known you was going quicker. I got some baits. And I said, well, we ain't leaving till 2 tomorrow. But
he put it together.
Yeah, he got you them brought over to my house last night. And he hand-carves all them, hand-paint. I mean, every bit is handmade. But he wrote a little note to stick in here for y'all. Said, I'm so glad you're getting to talk to a couple of my favorite people. You're a blessing to me and so many others. These lures might not catch fish, but I had a fun time making them. Probably listening to you in the background. May the Lord bless you brothers both, John Forrest.
That's so, John, thank you so
wanted
much.
Wanted to bring that here for y'all. He had no idea that I was going to wear this shirt today, so I threw that on for him, and there's some of John Forrest handmade and Tennessee baits.
Hand signed.
Yep.
I mean, this is fantastic. John, thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Taking the time to do that, that's special. You wanted to mention one thing that you're fixing to start
real quick. Yeah, so we've started up a deal called Wall Hanger Whitetail Supply, and we are selling some tubs. They're 200-pound lick tubs for deer. So they're formulated for deer, 27% protein. All the vitamins and minerals and deer, everything need, they're specifically formulated for them. You go in, they'll last a long time. But we're starting a Facebook page, Wall Hanger Whitetail Supply, and we're selling those right there. We cover the Middle Tennessee area, but they're sold all over the place. Several dealers here in Alabama. Look up deernecessity.com, and you can find your closest dealer there. But if you want to learn more about them, get on our Facebook page, Wall Hanger Whitetail Supply. I'll be doing some videos and stuff on there on them, kind of see what they're about and everything, go from there. But cool.
We'll put
deal.
A link. You send me a link, I'll put it in the description. Absolutely. That way people can click on it and check that out.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate that.
If they're looking for a wall hanger. Mark 14, 27 through 31 is where we're going to be at. Read this in my devotion time the other day, and I thought it'd be definitely worth a conversation with you guys. Let me find my spot here. What did I say? 14:27. Yep. All right. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. That's where we're at. On the way, Jesus told them, all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Peter said to him, even if everyone else deserts you, I never will. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter, this very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times that you even know me. I'm a big fan of the apostle Simon Peter because he's very outspoken. He's quick to say what he thinks. He's passionate. He loves Jesus. Jesus tells him that Peter's going to desert him. Peter ain't having it. He's like, no. Everybody else may do it, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus is like, yeah, you are. You are going to do that. But you've got to read on to see where this really struck me. So that's what Peter says to Jesus. And then we're going to fast forward to verse 32. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray. And he took Peter and James and John with him. So he takes three, the inner three with Jesus, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little further and he fell to the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass by. Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done. And then he returned and he found the disciples asleep. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Jesus goes back away. I'm not going to read it again, but Jesus comes back and he finds them sleeping. The key difference between these two things is Jesus prayed. Jesus stayed faithful. Simon Peter didn't pray. He fell asleep. And he indeed denies him, just like Jesus said. But he tells him, if you don't want to fall into the temptation, stay awake and pray. How many times am I staying awake and pray, being completely aware of my situations at all times, praying before I get in the mess, praying during the mess, praying after the mess for God's strength? Where I mess up is I'm trying to use my strength. And then if I get in a mess, I may pray about it. But I think that's backwards. I'm going to leave that to you guys to discuss a little bit. But I got more room to pray beforehand and watch was my takeaway from this.
Yeah. I think one of the things when you read that passage right there, one of the things that has always stuck out to me about that is the feeling that he had to have, the chill that ran up his spine when he denied him, and then that rooster crowed. The just the shrill sound of that rooster crowing, and then it all coming together right there, saying, I said I wouldn't do it. I did it. And but he called every bit of it, and just wondering, you know, how far his heart sunk.
Yeah.
When that happened.
I'm sure he was completely sick about it.
Yeah. How does Peter get to the point to where he had heard Jesus speak truth for years or months? I don't know how, years.
About 3 years probably.
And had in any point in time up until this point, Jesus said something was going to happen that didn't happen?
Right.
I would say no. Every time he said this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we know Jesus is not going to lie. He's going to tell the truth. But taking that and applying it to our lives, we've seen God prove himself and what Jesus said to be true. He's still to this day has not lied. But we take things that we read in Scripture and we're like, that's not going to happen to me. I won't do that. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, we are all so broken.
A great truth.
So broken. Peter, seeing everything that Christ did, knowing he's not lied up to this point, was like, you're lying. I mean, he flat out told him, no, I won't do that. That's hard to. It's not. It's hard, but looking at it, you're like, "Come on, Peter, why did you do that?" But now look at my life, and I'm like, "Oh,
right."
That's why Peter did that.
Well, I mean, if somebody we walk out of the studio here in a minute, and there's a guy out there that we don't see, he puts a gun up to my head and said, "All right, you got a choice. This Jesus guy that you've been talking about is you still want to follow him or not?"
Now things are rubber's hit the road now.
We in a different situation. Here's the beautiful part that we don't get it to in this passage. Peter ends up giving his life for Christ. Yeah.
Right.
The old saying is that he requested to be crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same fashion as Christ. That's growth. He wasn't there that night standing by the fire when the little girl comes up and asks him, wasn't you with him? Don't you know? He's like, no, I don't know. And he ends up, you know, says that he goes to cuss him. Yeah, I mean, he's mad.
Yeah, he's mad about it.
because he's trying to vehemently show mm-hmm. that he's not part of him. There's hope. And Jesus loved him then, and Jesus loved him later. I mean, he didn't...
Yeah, stop loving
him. He didn't stop right. loving him because he denied him. Now, he had to restore him by the seaside, and he did. Peter, you love me? Peter, do you love me? Mm-hmm. Peter, there's a reason he asked him three times in right. a row. I mean, and I think that was restoration. Mm-hmm. You know, Peter was shameful there by the seaside when Jesus did that, but I think it was just a... That's what we get. Mm-hmm. I get shameful. I'm like, yeah, Jesus, I did it again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know. But there's hope for all of us that if we continue to ask, you know, stay in prayer, asking for a filling of the Holy Spirit to fill us up, to lead us, to guide us, to strengthen us, we too can grow to a place where we deny Him when the pressure comes,
mm-hmm.
to when we're going, I don't care. Do whatever you want to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to get me there faster. So whatever.
Right.
But that's sanctification. And you may not be where you want to be today, but through prayer.
Yeah, you can get there.
You can get there. Through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit, I think we can just about get anywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's cool is, Shane mentioned earlier, his point was that Peter should have, if Jesus spoke and said, he should have just been like, yeah, you're right.
You're right.
I hate that this is going to happen. The same thing for us. Jesus said he's coming back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he spoke.
Mm-hmm. He spoke that. So we got to trust that.
That's right.
Now, is it tonight? Well, I don't know. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming.
It's on
and
the way.
I trust that. And I'm thankful that I can look forward to that.
Yeah,
not have to dread mm-hmm. that.
Dreading it, yeah.
And if you're out there right now and you're one of those people that not real excited about Jesus coming back because you ain't got right, hey, you can get right in just a matter of a few minutes,
mm-hmm.
is believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, confess Him as the Lord of your life, but essentially ask Him to sit down on the throne of your life and you'll get up and seek to follow Him, ask for the power of the Holy Spirit, you can get saved tonight.
Amen.
That's right.
He's still in the saving business.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, Bob and Mr. Johnny, thank you for your time. Thank
you all for having us, man. It's been an absolute ball. You know, this... For me and him to be able to come down here and do this together is super special for me. Being able to have this for the rest of my life, man. And my kids, you know, he's not Jesus, but he's pretty close.
They look up to you pretty close, pretty high, huh?
He's pretty close up there.
You
still
got a head full of hair, boy. I wish I
had
it. Hey, it won't come out, man.
My goodness.
It's that hair. You can't make that stuff fall out. You can whip it off.
I didn't get that kind.
I'll tell you what I could do. I could give you half of the hair I got, and I still have enough for another week. I got that from my granddaddy on my mama's side. He was Irish, and it was just like Baileymore. I can let my hair get out that long, get down under the swimming pool and sit for 2 minutes, come up, shake my head like a duck.
It
there
just
ain't no water nowhere, it just runs
it
off.
It grabs real easy, too, and goes
goes right in the creek bed.
I do that. It makes a good handhold. Y'all got my head hurting again.
Yes. Well, y'all been a blessing to us. That's going to do it tonight at the Hayden, Alabama Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Bob.
I'm Johnny.
We'll see y'all next week.